Hello, America. I want to talk to you about a friend of mine named Rod Eccles. You see, Rod's made a career out of kicking ass, and do you want to know why? Because that's what Americans do. We don't talk pretty, and every now and then we step on a few toes. I'm okay with it, and I'm willing to bet you are too. I think we're ready for a healthy dose of truth, justice, and the American way. That's why I tune into Rod weekdays 9 to noon, and I pray to God you'll join me. So together, we can get back to making America great.
Zinc Media. Feel the power of knowledge.
Indeed, hour number three, the fastest 3 hours in internet talk radio powered by Zinc Media Arts is right here on this program. I am your lovable host, Elrod, of course, coming to you live from the Bunkerize studio on this Monday, this partly sunny Monday, rather cool Monday morning in the autumn. September number 24 in the year of our Lord 2018. The Hot Rod line number is 603-499-7325. If you wish to utilize that during the three-hour live broadcast. And I have to establish that because there are some people inevitably that say, well, I called the number, nobody answered. When did you call?
Well, I don't know, it's like 3 or 4 o'clock.
Well, 3 or 4 o'clock in the afternoon or in the morning, we're not on the air. So, no, that's not my cell phone number, and I don't have a landline, so it's not my home phone number either. So I'm not going to. It's not going to be answered because there's nobody there to pick it up. Because the show's no longer live. Just saying. So people, gotta put it. You know, I remember this a long time ago when I was on the road as a on-the-road salesperson for a communications company. And I remember talking a potential – well, they were a client. They were no longer a potential client. They were a client of the company, of mine. And we were – something happened where in the background I heard, is that – Rush Limbaugh, and they go, yeah, like, huh. Well, he was just about to go off the air. You know, it was almost 3 o'clock. And, you know, she was like, yeah, it was a she. She was like, you know, my husband and I, we try to call Rush all the time. We can never get through. Yeah, well, you know, it's a national show, probably, you know, hundreds of people calling at the same time. And she said it without even thinking about it. Yeah, but we call when nobody else should be calling, and we still can't get through. Now, my curiosity got the better of me. I'm like, you call when nobody else should be calling. When do you call? Well, you know, we usually call later. So Rush is about to go off the air. It's almost 3 o'clock. She says, now, watch, in about a half hour, if you hang around, about a half, 20 minutes or so, a half hour, we're going to call again, and nobody's going to answer. And I'm thinking, but that'll be after 3 o'clock. He's not on the air. And she stops and looks at me for a second. She's like, as if that's something new to her. But she says, so? Well, the whole point is those are not pre-recorded calls. It's a live show. And then she proceeds, I'll never forget it. She says, the whole show? Yeah, that's the point. I guess maybe she believed that some of the calls, if not all of them, were pre-recorded. I'm just saying, people on both sides of the political aisle have a blonde moment. That's what we call it, blonde moment. But now, maybe that's what some people think here, that, whoever calls in here is pre-recorded. No, this is all live stuff. Rush was 100% live, 100% of the time. Listening callers don't get to call in. I don't know if that was the norm back then for other talk shows to record callers and play them during the program. I don't know. I have no reason to believe that that was the norm even back then. I have no reason to believe that that's the norm now. But evidently, that's what she probably assumed. And that in order to get on the air, you had to call at a time when most other people were not going to call. So, but nobody answers the phone after the show's off the air. Well, because it's a live show. But, and she wasn't a dumb woman. I mean, her and her husband had a number. They had more than one location. You don't do that by being stupid. They were rather successful, but she had this blonde moment. So my only, I didn't pursue it because you're not supposed to make your customer look bad. So I didn't pursue it. But my only thing is that maybe she believed that the calls were not all live calls, that they were recorded as well. So or maybe there was something else that she thought, that there was an after hours type of conversation that they would play later if you were good enough. I don't know. But in any case, she obviously must have believed that at whatever the reason is, that there were recorded calls played on a live program. I don't understand why people would believe that, but I'm sure that's still the case for today. Grassley is saying that Democrats withheld information on this new Kavanaugh allegation. Yeah, that's right. A spokesperson for Senate Judiciary Committee Chairman Chuck Grassley said on Sunday night, the panel will attempt to evaluate new allegations of sexual misconduct regarding Supreme Court nominee Brett Kavanaugh. This supposedly happened in the first semester of Brett's freshman year of college. So 35 years ago. What's with all these women waiting for over three decades to come forward with allegations? Again, evidently there is no police report. There is no 911 call. Yes, we had 911 in operation back then. The spokesman in a statement slammed Democrats for withholding information regarding these allegations. Because again, it's another allegation that they supposedly already knew about. This is not actually, like off the presses yesterday type of stuff. This is again, something that they knew, at least one of them knew about, but held, kind of like, Feinstein did with getting the letter back in June from Ford. You can't believe any of this stuff. Oh yeah. In other words, if the prediction is they're going to come out with somebody else is going to accuse them, it's because they already have them in the bag and they're holding on to it. And I think Grassley finally figured this out. Hello. Great that you've come into the 21st century and the ways and wiles of the Democrat Party, Mr. Grassley, but you're a day late and a buck short. But I'm guaranteed there's going to be a third one coming out, and they already know who that person is. You know, somebody in the Democrat, they're holding back. They already know. They already got him. They already got him, and they're going to present. Well, hey, we've got a third person now. You know, that claims, you know, the postgraduate, you know, college graduation of Kavanaugh doing this kind of stuff. Don't doubt me on this, folks. Do not doubt me. Because if they already knew about the second woman, but there's no other women so far. We're waiting for them to come forth. They already had one. Now, whether or not they were trying to groom her, which I believe is the case, make sure that she was getting her story straight. Because again, you know, 35 years ago. And again, the story, they're at a party. People are drinking. But that's the... That's the story, folks. We're going to keep, and as long as Grassley doesn't move this forward, and as long as McConnell doesn't hold the vote, they're going to keep doing this. But as soon as they hold the vote, and whether or not Kavanaugh is confirmed or not, it'll go away pretty much. I mean, just like with, you know, the Justice Thomas, Clarence Thomas. Yeah, every once in a while, they'll still, when it's, you know, meets their political needs, they'll bring up Clarence Thomas and Anita Hill. Just like they're doing now. Now they'll bring it up. Well, we believe Anita Hill. Okay. And again, regardless of all the females that come forward, you know, more than 200 now are saying that this is not Brett Kavanaugh. It's not the Brett Kavanaugh they worked with, that they knew or know or dated at that period in time. Yeah, he didn't do that. He didn't do anything like that. And that doesn't matter. That doesn't count whatsoever. You know, all it takes is one allegation from one questionable female, and she has to be believed. But 200 females say, well, no. That's not who he is. You ladies don't count. Besides, most of you women are conservative women anyway. We know what conservative women are like. They're nothing but lackeys, and they do exactly what their husbands tell them to do. That's what Democrats, whether they believe it or not, that's what they say. They believe that conservative women are weak, wimpy, and they're under the thumb of their husband or boyfriend, and they only do what the male figure in their life tells them to do because they're that weak and wimpy. And only liberal leftist women are strong enough to stand up against the male hierarchy and tell them to go screw. That's whether or not they believe it, that's what they want you to believe that they believe. Just say, we know that's a bunch of bunk, but that's... They still try to put that forward. It's kind of, you know, look, I've said this about Chuck Schumer. Chuck Schumer knows that he's lying. And he knows that everybody else knows that he's lying. But he's still going to look at you directly in the eye and smile at you and expect you to believe his knowable lie anyway. It's the same thing with when it comes to this kind of stuff. Whether or not they actually think you believe them, and whether or not they actually believe what they say, I firmly believe that half the stuff Democrats say they don't believe, but they expect you to believe that they believe it. And it's got to be at least half. I mean, there's no possible way. There's no possible way they can believe this garbage. There is no possible way you can tell me that they believe that the shrinking of some, you know, ice glaciers is the first time that they shrunk ever. They cannot possibly believe that. Now, I could be wrong. They probably do. Some of them probably really do. But at the same time, some of them know that that's a false statement. But they will perpetrate that lie anyway. They will. Simply because it meets their agenda. It furthers their agenda. Like, we're supposed to believe all this stuff, you know, about Trump. No, I seriously doubt that those in the know that are on the left believe half of what they're saying. And I think maybe they're finding out that most Americans don't believe them anyway. And they're having a fit about it. They're having a fit. And the proof that most Americans don't believe this kind of garbage, over the weekend, we had, you know, we have the weekend box office receipts report. For those of you in Rush Limbaugh's Real Linda, that's receipts. House with a Clock in the Walls has a $27 million weekend payday. That's the, I think it's a Goosebumps sequel. You know, with Jack Black? I don't know if it is or isn't. I mean, it's a cute kids movie. It's like a Harry Potter type of thing, you know, magic and stuff. And, you know, anyway, it hits 27 million, where Michael Moore's Fahrenheit 11.9 barely hit the 3 million mark. Yeah, well, some of you are probably saying he made that much. Yeah, I know, but there is no predicting how the box office numbers will go anymore. I mean, look, House of the Clock in the Walls. It looked like a cute family movie. You know, you could take your kids or just even drop your kids off. Do they even have G movies anymore? Because this is a PG movie. But, you know, you drop your kids off at the theater or the mall, and that's what you get. You get stuff like that for safe two-hour, you know, entertainment. But here's the story from The Hollywood Reporter. A trio of high-profile fall festival films opening nationwide got iced at the weekend box office. Michael Moore's new documentary, Fahrenheit 11.9, the edgy teen black comedy Assassination Nation, and Dan Fogelman's Life Itself. Now, I don't know about these other two. The Assassination Nation, teen black comedy. I don't think I've seen previews for that one. Life Itself. I saw a preview. It looked boring. Just saying. The only new movie to do impressive business was a more commercial Hollywood studio titled, which is Eli Roth's big screen adaptation of the beloved kids book, The House with the Clock in the Wall. So I guess it's not a Goosebumps type of sequel. The family-friendly pick starring Jack Black and Kate Blanchett debuted to a better-than-expected $27 million, easily topping the chart. From Steven Spielberg's Amblin Entertainment and distributed by Universal, the pre-Halloween offering follows a young orphan, Owen, played by Owen Vaccaro, who goes to live in his uncle's spooky house, which has a mind of its own, and therefore all kinds of hysterics and monkey business and magic happens. House of the Clock launched to 8.7 from a smattering of offshore markets for a global start of nearly $36 million. So good for that. I mean, it looks cute. Am I going to spend money to go see it? No. Well, I don't have any youngsters that I could go to. I'm not even going to, you know, temporarily kidnap a friend's kids to go see this. Yeah. You know, I'll wait till next Halloween to pick it up on Netflix or something. But yeah, look, if you like this type of family fare, you should probably take your kids. They'd probably love it. It's based on a children's book of the same name. The House with a Clock in its Walls. So that's House with a Mind of its Own. You know, it kind of reminds me of Mousetrap? Yeah, that was a Disney flick, too, some years ago. It was cute. But that's what is happening at the box office. Fahrenheit 11.9 tanks. Now, I don't know how much Michael Moore spent on this to make this documentary, but I'm betting, because this is, you know, this is, he's part of big budget Hollywood. So even on the documentary side, if this were to cost $10 million, that would be low budget, but it's still a big budget. And it didn't make it back. Hope he goes broke. I hate to say it, but honestly, how can this guy be worth as much as he's worth off of documentaries that aren't even truthful? Well, evidently, you know, they can make up some good stories. You know, it is Hollywood. I can't make it all up, so that's why I'm not a screenwriter. But there you go. In other news today, we have this story that comes from WND, WorldNet Daily. A city decides, this is the headline is what caught my attention. The headline in this case, city decides pro-life marchers have First Amendment rights. And I'm thinking, wait, what? City decides pro-life marchers have First Amendment rights? When did this, what city needs to decide this? Evidently, police had been enforcing invalid protest injunction. Officials, are you ready for this? This is the city, folks. Let me see if you're going to be surprised by the state. You're probably not. Officials in Rochester, New York have decided that pro-life marchers had First Amendment rights, frustrating Planned Parenthood abortionists who tried to use an injunction in a separate dispute to stop them from counseling mothers-to-be. The word of the decision comes from the Thomas More Society, which argued on behalf of members of ROC, Sidewalk Advocates for Life. The nonprofit has been offering alternatives to abortion to women going to a Planned Parenthood abortion business on University Avenue in Rochester, New York. The legal team says Jim Havens and other group members did this on a public sidewalk without restriction. That was until June, when Planned Parenthood obtained an injunction from a 2005 case that prohibited a different group of protesters from approaching within 15 feet of the entrance. Abortionists prevailed on police to begin enforcing the injunction from the older case against the new marchers until this week. The society said it had received notice from Rochester that the city will no longer impose the old restrictions, which resulted from a previous organization's lawsuit. The zone is marked by yellow lines painted across the sidewalk on either side of the Planned Parenthood facility entrance. The legal team wrote to the city arguing that the old injunction wasn't applicable to the new counselors and that the police enforcing it were denying pro-life advocates their First Amendment rights. The letter pointed out that Havens and members of ROC Sidewalk Advocates for Life were not defendants in the 2005 legal matter and were not acting in concert with anyone who was violating the injunction. For that reason, they are not subject to it and could not violate it. So first of all, there never should have been such an injunction on a public byway, which is a public sidewalk, saying that, yo, you can't be within 15 feet of this. Are you kidding me? This is insane. And then to try to apply this injunction or ruling against an organization that has no affiliation with the original. There is no court law. There's no law. There's no ruling that says nobody can be within 15 feet of the entrance. It was just an injunction for these people. For whatever reason the injunction was given, it doesn't matter. It doesn't fit this organization, who has no affiliation whatsoever, either in membership or in any other way, with the old group that had the injunction. You just cannot apply an injunction on one particular group for a specific reason and then just willy-nilly applying it like it's new ordinance and applying it to everybody. That doesn't work. That's not the, well, you can't tell that to liberals. You can't tell that to leftists. You know, again, the law as it is written doesn't mean anything to them. The law as it was intended doesn't mean anything to them. Whatever they decide at the moment is what should be law. Settled case law, no matter what. Not even if it's not even a ruling. Oh, well, we got an injunction. Well, injunctions don't last forever, by the way. At least they're not supposed to. It's supposed to be due to a impending case that you're going to have. You know, in a court of law, an injunction cannot last forever. Because if that's the case, then you don't even need to go to court. You just get an injunction from somebody. And look, even, you know, protection orders have an expiration date. You know, somebody can't decide that, you know, I want this person to be able to stay away from me forever. He can't be within 500 feet of me forever, no matter where I go. Well, there's an expiration date on that, because there has to be a court hearing where both sides present their case. You just can't decide, well, I'm going to get an injunction or a protection order from you forever without you being able to do anything about it. That's not the way our legal system was designed, nor is it the way it works. But you will get leftists who think that that's the way it should work, and forever be able to, you know, without you being able to, no, you shouldn't be able to speak in your own defense. Screw that. I don't want you near me or my building or my group or organization whatsoever anytime ever, 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 ever. And that goes for your friends that you haven't even met yet. Basically is what they're saying. This whole injunction from 2005 from this old organization, it has nothing to do with, evidently no members in this new group or part of the old group. So it doesn't matter. So even if one of them just happened to casually meet a member of the old group, okay, now that extends to you? No. So therefore, when you're not even a defendant in an old case, you're somehow, the injunction is now supposed to be ordinance and law. But it's not. And even in the injunction, it's not supposed to last forever. But you can't tell a leftist that, because everything is based on feeling, right? Just feeling. It doesn't matter. They hate you, so therefore, you have no rights.
Warning, listening to the Rod Eccles Show by the idiot left may cause outrage, fear, a need for safety pins and or spaces. If you experience any of these symptoms or are allergic to truth, tune in and learn something, Snowflake.
We've all heard of male enhancement, but now there's an expert on true male enhancement in the areas that really count. In Herb Ellis's book, Husband 2.0, Real Male Enhancement, you'll find answers to questions like, why doesn't she want to have sex? A quick start, quick results workout guide, plus what you can do as a side hustle to make money now. With all the great tips in this book, every man can benefit. Get the book, Husband 2.0, Real Male Enhancement, on Amazon.com.
It started with a knock, but it wouldn't end there. What happens in the story next, many wouldn't understand, and most wouldn't believe. 5+2=Perfection by Samuel Rosette Jr. is a must-read. The scriptures within are reminders of the ancient past, and yet intriguingly infuses with texts which stand on the edge of the stage of relevancy. Available online at Westbow Press, Amazon, Books A Million, Barnes & Noble, and SamuelRosetteJr.com.
This holiday season, help Soldiers for Stockings improve the morale and welfare of members of our armed forces deployed overseas. Now through November 20th, there is so much work to be done, and you can help in many ways. Download the stocking pattern from stockingsforsoldiers.org and start sewing today. Volunteer to help decorate and assemble stockings. Donate Christmas candies, snacks, nuts, chips, drink mixes, DVDs, books, magazines, lip balm, toiletries, and other items needed to fill the stockings. Or help make packets of snowman soup, hot chocolate, to send along with the stockings. For more information, patterns, and a list of items needed, visit stockingsforsoldiers.org. This holiday season, help send our troops a touch of home. For many, it's all they will receive. All stockings need to be completed by November 20th. So get started today at stockingsforsoldiers.org. That's stockingsforsoldiers.org. Stockings for Soldiers, sending stockings filled with joy to our soldiers in harm's way for the 9th consecutive year.
If you're 85 or younger, would you like peace of mind and comfort for your family? We're Final Expense Direct with an urgent message for you. The average funeral today costs over $8,000, but the most you'll get from government benefits is $255. How will your family pay the difference? We can help. Our senior plans start as low as just a dollar a day and pay up to $30,000 for a funeral and other final expenses. Peace of mind is easy. There's no medical exam. You'll have lifetime coverage, and your plan can't be canceled as long as you pay your premiums. Call now for free information about our senior plans. Answer a few simple questions and receive approval right on the phone. Plus, call right now, and we'll give you a discount prescription card for free. Call 800-471-9742. That's 800-471-9742. Again, 800-471-9742.
Do you need a car? Been shopping only to be turned down because of bad credit, low credit, no credit, bankruptcy, or divorce? Guess what? Today's your lucky day, because now you can buy a car, truck, or SUV, just about any vehicle. It's true. Bad credit? Doesn't matter. No credit? Doesn't matter. Bankruptcy or divorce? It just doesn't matter. As a matter of fact, your job is your ticket to your new vehicle. We're Auto Credit Express, and we've helped thousands of people just like you. Antonio H. told us, great company, got me connected, and the day I went in, I drove off in the car I wanted. 100% worth your time. Need a car? Get started now and drive off as early as today. Just go to 7ignoremyscore.com right now. That's www.7ignoremyscore.com. Auto financing the easy way. 7ignoremyscore.com. Get started today. Auto financing the easy way.
And welcome back. It is now time, that portion of the program where it is time for today's holidays. Yes, the holidays for today. There's some interesting ones, but here they are for September number 24, and they are thus. It is Family Day. Now, this Family Day is observed the fourth Monday in September. It's created to center on addiction. It focuses on getting parents to do things with their children and their spouses to break patterns that we normally get involved in that some people call addictions, you know, like watching TV, video games, whatever, but just spending time with the family. It's also a festival of latest novelties. Just another day to spend your money. I have no idea what that is. Latest novelties. Okay. It's also Kiss Day. Yes. Today's the day that you kiss somebody. Now, you got to be careful. You got to make sure that you get written permission to kiss anybody today, or else it could be a, you know, sexual harassment charge. Yeah, you can even use it. Well, today's a holiday. It's Kiss Day. I know some people are saying, well, no, that's about the band. No, it's not about the band. It's about the romantic or friendship gesture. I don't know what, you know how The French and the Spanish and the Italians and even the Greeks like to kiss you on the cheek when they greet you and they greet friends and colleagues and stuff. Would that be construed as being sexual harassment in the USA? I think it would be. They don't think so, but I guess here it would, you know, the good old kiss on the cheek, even the fake kiss on the cheek. You know how, the Hollywood stars do it and all the rich people do it. Mwah, mwah. They don't even actually touch. But I wonder, could that be construed as sexual harassment today? Or even attempted rape? I'm just asking the question. I don't know. It's also Gallbladder Good Health Day. Today is a day that you pay attention to your gallbladder and make sure that you are being fair health-wise to your gallbladder. It's also National Cherries Jubilee Day. Yes, Cherries Jubilee celebrates the dessert, the Cherries Jubilee. Usually uses black cherries, which aren't black, by the way. I guess it can be sometimes it can be a real deep, deep, dark red, but they're not really black. And cherries are delicious things all by themselves. But you add, honey and sugar to them and it goes over the top. It's also National Punctuation Day. Yes, punctuation. I am sure the grammar Nazis that troll Twitter will be very festive today about Punctuation Day. I don't even know why these people will even bother. It's Twitter, for crying out loud. But yeah, they're the so-called grammar Nazis running around on social media that I don't think they follow people, really. They just troll for... Who's got time to do that, by the way? I mean, why would you just sit online and troll for people's misspellings and mispunctuations and just terrible grammar on social media? It's the whole point of social media. But anyway, it is National Punctuation Day, so if you're a grammar Nazi, it is your holiday today. It is also National Bluebird of Happiness Day. Bluebird of Happiness. Mr. Bluebird on my shoulder type of thing. It is also the start of Sukkot, also known as Feast of Booths, Feast of Tabernacles, and also known as Feast of the Ingathering. It's observed the 15th of Tishri in the Hebrew calendar, which is obviously today in the Gregorian calendar. It is Sukkot. It's an autumn festival lasting 7 days in Israel and 8 days in diaspora. And finally today, it is Schwenkenfelder Day or Schwenkenfelder Thanksgiving. That's Schwenkenfelder, Schwenkenfelder. Schwenkenfelder or Schwenkenfelders, who now live in Pennsylvania Dutch country, are descendants of a small Protestant sect that sprang up in Germany around the time of the Reformation. They were followers of Caspar Schwenkenfeld, who died in 1561, a Silesian Reformation theologian who founded the movement called Reformation by the Middle Way. He and his followers separated themselves from Orthodox Protestant circles and formed the small societies and brotherhoods that still survive in the United States today as Schwenkenfelder Church, or Confessors of the Glory of Christ. In 1733, a handful of Schwenkenfelders arrived in Philadelphia, and a second group immigrated from Germany on September 22nd in 1734. The next day, they swore their allegiance to the British king. Then they spent the following day, September 24, expressing their gratitude to God for having delivered them from persecution in Germany. In the Pennsylvania Dutch counties where Schwenkenfelders still live, this day is observed as a special Thanksgiving Day. So there you have it. And they actually even give you an address for the main Schwenkenfelder Church, which is in Worcester or Worcester, Pennsylvania. Yes. So those are your holidays for today, September number 24. Now, please go out and celebrate responsibly. Schwenkenfelder. Pennsylvania Dutch. Well, that's a lot of. I didn't realize that there were so many different sects of, well, what we would call here, lovingly refer to them as Amish or Mennonite. I mean, there are just tons of different sects of them, I guess. Schwenkenfelders, you know, Pennsylvania Dutch. They're German, not necessarily Dutch for the Schwenkenfelders, but we know the Amish tend to originate from Dutch, and we call them Pennsylvania Dutch, but there are different ordnons of the Amish. And it's funny how they really live out their lives and how they communicate with the outside world, where true Amish really don't want to have anything to do with the English. But yet we have the Schwenkenfelders, who gave their allegiance to the English. But the English basically are reference to anybody who isn't Amish. Unless, of course, you're Mennonite. Now, Mennonite is a sect of Amish, but they believe that they can deal with the, you know, they're more modernized. They can deal with the English. And the Amish, the true Amish, deal with the Mennonites, who deal with the English. So they don't have to deal directly. So basically, the Mennonites are the middlemen or the wholesaler. You know, whatever the Amish. Now, the Amish love the money from the English. They just don't want to have to deal directly with them. I know it's kind of well, the Amish are great. They're great craftsmen in just about anything, whether it be, you know, textile or, you know, wood, especially, you know, wood, you know, carpentry. So they often, what they'll do is, you know, they'll build their stuff. You know, Amish, simple, well-built Amish stuff or well-crafted Amish textiles, and they'll sell it to the Mennonite at a wholesale price, basically, who will then turn around and sell it to the English. I used to get a Mennonite catalog out of Ohio. Yeah, I used to get a catalog. Well, because they have these wonderful products that utilize only human power. You know, kitchen appliances that are run without electricity. So, you know, whether it be, you know, meat grinders or blenders, you know, I mean, I'm not talking just the handheld stuff either. You know, remember the old hand mixers? Now, these are actual and wonderful appliances. I mean, sturdy, stout appliances that you probably would leave out on your counter, like an electric appliance, but these were powered by turning a crank, hand crank, so they were hand powered. But it had a lot of these types of. I didn't even know some of these things existed until I got this catalog. I don't even know why I got this catalog. So one day, you know, I got this catalog with a postcard and said, you know, if you want to keep getting. So I sent the postcard back, and for a couple of years, I kept getting this catalog. And it just fascinated me, the stuff that they had available. But again, a lot of the stuff was made not only by Mennonites, but by Amish. And you couldn't buy this stuff directly from the Amish. You had to go to the Mennonites, because the Mennonites were the middleman between they were the buffer. The buffer between, which is actually the case, you know, remember the TV show, what was it, Breaking Amish? The reality that came out of that is that they weren't the gangster Amish weren't Amish at all. They were Mennonite. I think that's what was finally the demise of the program, is that they weren't Amish. They were Mennonite. So I mean, again, I didn't watch the program all that often. I just thought it was kind of funny. You see a bunch of, you know, Amish people being badass, which is, and this sort of, all that sort of stuff happened after. Remember when the, was it 6 or 9 Amish girls were taken captive and murdered in Pennsylvania? It was a terrible time, but, Islam do to Amish? Because Amish, they're extreme. They don't fight back. I don't know how you can stand to do that type. But which is probably why they go to the Mennonites, because the Mennonites can. They believe in self defense to a degree. So maybe the Mennonites would be there the Amish protectors. Anyway, you got this story here. By the way, if you ever have the chance to visit any type of Amish settlement, or just even, you know, pass by it and look at it, it's really an amazing, in Pennsylvania and Ohio, it's really quite an amazing thing. And if you ever want to really taste, you know, Pennsylvania Dutch, German, Bavarian types of food, there are some, you know, smorgasbord restaurants. You know, all you can eat type of thing. Places in Pennsylvania. I went to one. It was great. Just ridiculously huge place. And just, you know, line after line of, you know, all you can eat stuff. And some of the stations had people actually there cooking the stuff right there for you. And some of them, you know, there's obviously like going into the Chinese American, all you can eat restaurant. But this was like ridiculous amounts of food. And you have, there's no way in hell you could even taste all of what they had to offer. But, breakfast, lunch, dinner, all being served same time. It just, this line after line after line of different food. And, you know, this is not exactly light fare either. You're going to walk out of there stuffed. And you're going to feel it, because it's going to sit at the bottom of your gut, let me tell you. It was good, though. But I was, if you're not into sausages, then you'll probably, you know, skip that menu item in the smorgasbord line. And it's a good size one of different types of sausages, and I skipped that. But other stuff is definitely, sits heavy. You'll be digesting that for days. Any case, I highly recommend if you go into some sort of Amish or Mennonite restaurant, all-you-can-eat place. It's if you're a skinny mini and you eat like a bird, it ain't gonna be worth your time. But if you can, you know, if you can sit down at Thanksgiving dinner and put back some turkey and other food, then you would probably like something like this. It would be worth the price. And it's not all that expensive. It was like $15 a person. It's not all that expensive for what you have potential is to sit in front of you. So wish I remember the place of it. A friend of mine took me there. I wish I remember. But anyway, Soros. This is from France 24. Soros challenges the Hungarian laws at European Rights Court. I guess Soros is now trying to, does he actually believe that Hungary is going to abide by whatever some stupid court in Western Europe is going to say? The foundation run by U.S. billionaire George Soros said Monday that it has filed a legal challenge with the European Court of Human Rights. That's kind of funny, human rights. In Strasbourg against Hungary's controversial Stop Soros laws adopted last June. The New York-based Open Society Foundations said in a statement that it had submitted a complaint to the Rights Court, calling it to defend Hungarian democracy and urge a repeal of the laws. There is only one thing this legislation will stop, that's democracy. Now that's fun. I don't even know what these people's idea of democracy is anymore. Because their idea of fighting democracy is to be anti-democratic. You know, do everything via the court. Well, that's not democracy. There's this whole movement or what have you now about banned books. Yesterday was banned book day or something like that, where they were talking about all the books that were being banned from college and public high school and middle school. Now, a lot of these books that they're saying are being banned, it's just that parents themselves had an issue with some of these things because they were teaching, you know, alternative lifestyles and things like that. But at the same time, you know, they're saying, well, this is you know, anti-freedom, anti-democracy, you know, can't ban books because that's very Nazi. But here they are banning stuff. Not only are they banning books, they're banning people. Like on Twitter and Facebook, they're just banning people. But that's okay, because that's done democratically, I guess. I don't know. The Stop Soros package targeting the Hungarian-born 88-year-old includes a 25% tax on non-governmental organization deemed to be supporting or positively portraying migration. A year's prison term could also be handed to those convicted of assisting someone to enter the country illegally. Well, that's not anti-democratic. We supposedly have laws in the books that are similar, although they're rarely, if ever, enforced. We do. We have anti-illegal assistance laws in the books. Which is why a lot of people are saying, well, wait a minute, why are these mayors and county commissioners and police chiefs and sheriffs in certain states getting away with breaking the law when the law clearly states you are not to support or hide illegal immigrants? As far as I know, that's a felony. I don't see Soros taking the United States in any sort of world court, human rights court. Not that the U.S. would even pay attention in the first place, but I don't think Hungary's going to pay attention either. They're just going to look at this. The court is obviously going to rule against Hungary. Hungary's going to say, screw you, it's not your country. Look, they've already told parts of the European Union to go screw when it comes to, you know, they're siding with Italy. You know, Italy is talking about sending people back and already done it. And they're siding with Italy on that. They're taking Italy's side. No, we're not going to let these people in to destroy our country like they're destroying France and Sweden and Germany and Belgium. Screw that nonsense. Can't blame them. But that is what they are claiming. Now, according to the Open Society Foundation, now, first of all, anything that Soros is attached to is an evil entity organization. I don't care what they call themselves. They're not democratic. They're not about freedom. They're about power and manipulation only. I do not believe that the open societies are not exact. In my view, my personal opinion, they're not. Just looking at what they do and what they advocate, I have come to the conclusion that they are not very open and democratic. Democratic people do not go through the courts and have a court force other people to do their bidding, especially after the majority of the people voted for what they've gotten. They voted for what they've gotten in Hungary. That's democratic. How is it democratic that the majority of people in Hungary want these people in power who said that they're doing what they said and promised they were going to do during the election process? Yeah, we're going to close our borders. We're going to keep them closed. We're going to do this. We're going to do that. And the people said, yes, we vote for you because that's what we want too. And now you have the Open Society Foundation, who believes in open borders, if I'm not mistaken. And not just open borders, but no borders. Countries should not be allowed to have borders, is what they basically believe from Open Society Foundations. And so they're now, so the people of Hungary have voted to stop this nonsense of this, you know, borderless migration crap. And Soros takes them to court saying it's undemocratic. So they want a court, to, you know, kind of like what we have here in California, when the bulk of the people in California said no to Proposition 8, which was, you know, pretty much basically just the gay marriage. And those who lost decided, well, that's not democratic because we didn't win, so we're going to go to court. And they got a court to force people to accept what the people didn't want and what they voted democratically for or against. Didn't matter. You can, again, democratic now means whatever court says. You're now forced to believe or do or act in a manner, and that's democracy. Doing things that you do not want to do. And you as a society have voted, majority have voted not to do. That's undemocratic of you. You don't want open borders? How undemocratic of you. It wouldn't matter if it was 94 and 10% against. 90% for closed borders and 10% against closed borders. It's undemocratic of you. Who? You know, it's undemocratic that only citizens can vote in the United States. It's undemocratic. Well, don't, this is what they're thinking, folks. Don't doubt me on this. Undemocratic. It's undemocratic that people vote to have lower taxes. Undemocratic. You got to do things their way. Or in their book, yeah, their way or the highway. Well, it's not even in the highway. You know, it's their way or the court way. If they can't get you to vote for this nonsense, then they'll just make sure that a court will force you to do all that nonsense. That's the new democracy, I guess. When the left loses, they take you to court. They win in court because they have some liberal judge who believes what they believe, and that's democracy. So you vote for Trump, and Trump wins. That's not democracy because they didn't want Trump to win. They wanted Hillary to win. So that's anti-democratic if Trump is the president and not Hillary. Look, I'm not making this stuff up. You know it. In any case, I'm not making this up either. We're out of time for today. We will be back here tomorrow, Tuesday morning. Spread the word. Until then, have a wonderful Monday afternoon. We'll see you back here tomorrow morning. Thanks for tuning in. I'm out.